welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. As you know, Revenue Rocket is the world's premier growth strategy and IT M&A advisor for IT services companies. I guess I got to remember what the heck it is we do. Some days I just get a little tongue-tied. With me today are Ryan and Matt, my partners here at Revenue Rocket. Welcome, guys.
You know, sometimes it's hard to see the forest through the trees, Mike, right? And, you know, we just live in, we live amongst the trees and sometimes, you know, forget how to characterize what in the heck it is we do, right? But man, happy to be here. Excited for the future. We just talked recently about our participation in the Inc. 5000 Gala. And on that list and had the opportunity to meet a bunch of great people and great firms that are also optimistic for the future. And the future is bright, right, Ryan?
Absolutely. It was such a great conference and great spending time with both of you and something that really the fast companies are on that list for a reason. And they are going to keep on that list for a reason. And, you know, one of the ways to keep on that list is to actually buy a few companies. And today we'd love to talk a little bit about what we're seeing for market dynamics in today's M&A transactions, especially focused on the tech-enabled services businesses. So when we say that, that's usually custom application developers, application integrators, and cybersecurity firms, MSPs, and the like. So, Matt, you were just talking about what you're seeing in the market and kind of this mix of, you know, are we in a seller's market or buyer's market? I'd love to get your thought.
Yeah, you know, I think we've been open. We've talked about the fact that 2023 has been a bit of a slower year in the M&A marketplace, and I don't think just in tech services, it's really been somewhat across the board, largely driven by the increase of interest rates, which has made the availability of capital a little bit more difficult. In addition, you know, there's been some economic wobbliness, right? A little bit of headwinds. And so firms have, you know, been maybe not growing at the rate that they've been used to historically. And so it's been time to sort of hunker down. And in particular, and I know, Mike, you've got perspective on this, I think in particular in the sort of first half of 2023. Now, if you would have listened to a podcast about a year ago, or maybe, you know, 15 months ago, we would have been talking about the fact that it was pretty squarely seen as a seller's market, specifically in tech-enabled services. And while the pendulum hasn't really swung fast, right, to the point that it's a complete buyer's market today, I think that what's happened in the economy has brought a bit of equilibrium, right? And so that maybe it's sort of in between being a buyer's market and a seller's market, which is actually a great place to be because it really puts a little bit more impetus on finding the right fits culturally and strategically as well as financially. And those are the opportunities that really pay off in the long run. And so while there may have been deals that were done, without some of the, without having all of the boxes checked or the right boxes checked previously, I don't think that we'll see that in the near term future. And what we'll see is really great partners coming together.
Yeah, I think you called it, Matt. No question about that. I think it's going to be, you know, an active period. We see a rapidly accelerating and consolidating market after a sort of slow start to 23. And so we're bullish. moving forward. And I think certainly if you're a buyer, now's the time.
So if we look at this and you've got a bit of an equilibrium, I guess maybe let's unpack that a bit. If we think about there's some headwinds and pressure. One of the things that I've heard more in the last, I'd say 3 to 6 months is it's really hard running a business and it's hard to be the boss of a business. Has there been a shift in perhaps people's attitude of, you know, if you've been grinding this out for 20 years, is it time to perhaps think about what that next step is? Is there good alignment for buyers and sellers when that attitude is present?
Well, I'll take a swing. You know, yes. I think what you're saying is that there are, you know, could be founder-led businesses or, you know, second generation or somebody who bought a small business and has grown it to an extent. You know, when things are a little out of balance, right, from the overall supply and demand perspective, and maybe it's a little bit easier to grow your business and manage that business, then you're, you know, no reason to think about anything differently. And then all of a sudden you come into a bit of headwinds and you recognize that, you know, what it's going to take to go to the next level and where you are at individually as a business owner. And maybe those two things don't match up, right? And so it's a good recognition of saying, well, you know what? Now is the time. And you know, when it's time, it's time. And that's we always ask our clients, it's the number one, you know, factor. It's, are you ready? Have you made that emotional and mental leap of being ready? And I think you make a great point, Ryan, that, you know, having some challenges sometimes creates an opportunity, a window of saying, you know what, now is the time. And quite honestly, Ryan, we've seen that in literally the last 3 months as we've counseled with some clients about that topic, you know, right there.
Yeah, one of the things we start to see that is in our origination efforts, people are literally more apt to pick up the phone or return an email and to have that conversation. If I had a wish or desire, I would love for business owners to always have a thought of what an exit might look like or the planning might look like, and something that it seems that we're also having a lot of discussions lately on, I'd like to have an exit plan for that next 2 or 3 years. So getting yourself emotionally ready and thinking about what you'd like to do if you're selling in or selling out, or getting to the firm where you're to a point of profitability that makes a sale more important, I think helps, or important to hitting your number is good for just planning into the future. Mike, I'd love to get your perspective. If we see a bit of softening here, and there's perhaps that pendulum moving over, what happens to valuations in our market? When you look at, is this favorable for buyers, or does it still stand up for sellers?
Well, what's fascinating is there's been a lot of speculation this year that valuations are coming down or have come down, but we haven't necessarily seen that. And I think because of continues to be a situation where there's a shortage of talent in our world and sort of tech-enabled services companies in general, I don't know that we're going to see that. I think valuations have been holding up pretty well. We're certainly getting deals done at, you know, valuations that are, you know, supported and have been supported over a period of years. Could there be some micro fluctuations in certain segments? Yes, we've certainly seen that. But I would tell you, it's not a material change. I mean, we're talking about, you know, if anything, 10 to 30 basis points moving around both down and back up this year in certain subsegments. of a multiple of EBITDA. And so it's in every deal, you know, depending on the merits of its specific deal can move around and be optimized, I think, more than that. So, you know, in the macro view, I would say we're not really seeing that. We're not seeing valuations certainly moving materially in any one direction, whether that be down or up. And we do have to remember that valuations for many, many years were moving in one direction, and that was up. So, you know, a micro correction here or there based on subsegments, I don't think warrants any concern. And if anything, I think with the additional volume that's expected as we move forward and move into 24, which as an election year, likely will be generally favorable for the economy. We're certainly going to see valuations hold steady through 24.
And Mike, I think that you just, I mean, just to highlight, you know, finding the strong strategic and, you know, strategic fit first, but then, you know, cultural fit is going to enable the appropriate and strong valuation for a selling firm. Now, I think that buyers are going to have the opportunity to introduce a bit more structure into deals. And when designed correctly, that's great for both parties. It provides some alignment between both parties. And so I do think that there may be a bit more structure. I agree. Valuations are not plummeting. Any financial buyer is going to want to, you know, start with that line, but it's just not, you know, true or appropriate. But it, at the same time, you know, we're not going to see, you know, 4X, you know, 4X revenue multiples that, you know, some craziness happened a couple of years ago.
Matt, I'd love to dig into the structure you mentioned. So structure is going to be used. What do you think will happen in terms of structure? And typically when we talk structure, that's a deal structure on how something can come together.
Sorry, Ryan. I mean, I was just going to, you know, jump on. So structure, there's cash at close, right? There's oftentimes a component of an earnout. That's part of structure within a deal. There's oftentimes, the opportunity to roll equity and or participating as a shareholder in the new company. There's the use of seller financing. And I think we had a whole podcast on seller financing. Mike's an expert in that. And then there's, you know, duration of employment and, you know, being compensated in that way as well. And the reason that I think that buyers will have an opportunity and may look to introducing more structure is somewhat related to, the cost of capital that we talked about earlier. It's more expensive, to use outside capital. And so, you know, firms are not going to want to, you know, seek that as an avenue as much as they did in the past. And so they will be looking to, you know, reduce that cash at close portion. I think that it's also appropriate because, you know, growth has slowed a bit. Using structure, to ensure that everybody's on the same page with, you know, managing growth and net income, through a transitionary period is an appropriate means for structure. And I think that that, you know, can be and will be used to the benefit of both parties again, when designed correctly by quality advisors. It's a win-win for both parties. And so I just think that, because we've sort of moved from being a kind of hyper seller's market into a little bit more balanced market, you know, we'll see that as sort of one of the factors in 2024. And I do want to also, you know, highlight what Mike said is we've already seen a quite a significant uptick in the fourth quarter here of interest, both from buyers and sellers. And so I think that we see 2024 as being sort of, you know, we're tipping the nose up and we're going to see quite a bit more activity.
I think if you're on that equation, the sellers keep in mind that if you look at where your valuation and the opportunities that you have, even with a flat year, you're still going to have a discounted cash flow view of the future. So think and keep in mind those forecasts can be huge and to contribute to the value of your company. And buyers, I think what I heard from you, Matt, I think I at least extrapolated this right. It's not necessarily that there may be more opportunities, but the expectation of getting a deal done that's good for everyone could be more in that the seller may have a more realistic set of expectations, and the buyer, I don't think buyers are going to, it's not going to be a fire sale or something that a seller is just going to give up on price because of the current market conditions. I don't see that really happening either. So instead you get this equilibrium that's really helping each other.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a balanced equilibrium and, you know, enables for more proper and aligned expectations. You know, it's all about expectation management.
Mike or Matt, do either of you think that the speed of a deal will increase? If you're looking to, let's say, put your company into market in January of this year, or buy a company starting, you know, now, does the time frame change?
Well, it might. You know, I think there are some just universal truths around the time it takes to get deals done that'll be hard to beat. Like, you know, that timeline from LOI to close is, for as long as I can remember, been hovering around 90 days, and that's with a lot of people pushing and pulling to get it done. Might be a little on this side of 90 or a little on the other side of 90, but generally it's about 90 days. You know, origination and outreach and getting people interested into the table, you know, takes a life of its own as well. Now, do I think that we can get things negotiated quicker, kind of get from introduction to LOI faster in a market that has more momentum? I think the answer is yes. I think if the Fed could help us out a little bit with holding interest rates steady and or reducing them, preferably, and most pundits say that it's likely that the Fed will begin cutting interest rates early in the second half of 24. Certainly that'll give us a good shot in the arm and could, you know, shorten times from introduction to sort of through valuation review and negotiation to LOI. I think if there's any time in the life cycle that will be a little bit quicker, coming into 24 and through 24, it certainly will be there. But in general, I think it takes the time that it takes. And what's important to note is that with more activity, you know, it will portend that both buyers in particular need to be decisive about the decisions they make about their potential targets. I think that what ends up happening in these cycles is that maybe there's more sellers or more openness by sellers, but that just brings in more buyers. And so, you know, we've certainly seen our market expand from folks from outside of the space coming in. And there's a much greater percentage of the GDP just in general market growth that happens every year. So, you know, more capital flowing in, more sellers means that there's more what we'll call sort of new capital flowing in, which means there's more competition, which portends even a faster growth market. You know, as a buyer, you might think you can slow down and be more selective with your deals, but you know, our experience has been that that's not necessarily the case, and what people would consider at least a tilt more to a buyer's market.
That makes sense. I've heard today that 2023 has been a little bit slower across the board, but that ultimately means that if you're looking for a deal, that strategic fit and cultural fit could ultimately provide to be even more powerful. I heard valuations are that if you're a buyer, don't expect a fire sale. At the same time, there's probably some more realism in the valuation of a seller. We heard that I think more sellers are receptive to hearing a pitch and just being able to talk and have the conversation of exit planning. I would remind you, if you're considering that, always use an advisor to help you walk through what that might mean for you. And then I heard a bit of an excitement for 2024, where there's a potential for some really great deals to get done, and the opportunity for that true 1+1=2 scenario to happen when that strategic, cultural, and financial fit all come together to make something really special. Matt and Mike, any closing thoughts?
Well, I just a reminder that, you know, top quartile companies have an acquisition strategy at all times, right? They may not be always buying based upon what's happening in the market and or what's happening within their business. But top quartile companies do have an ongoing acquisition strategy. So it is important if you want to be fast growth and a valued player in your industry, and especially in the tech services space. So highly encourage people to put that on their overall strategic plan. And then the last thing that I'd say is that I think there is just some pent up, you know, there's just pent up energy on both sides of the fence, right? For buyers as well as for sellers. There's pent up energy, and 2024 is going to be a great year. And I just encourage people who are thinking about what they're going to be doing in 2024 to move from thinking into action, because you want to get in there earlier rather than later. So just some of my thoughts. Mike, what do you think?
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself. I think it's going to be a great year for companies that have sort of both an organic and acquisitive strategy in mind. As our industry continues to grow and mature, certainly there's great opportunities abound. And we here at Revenue Rocket would love to help you out and help you achieve your goals on either side of that aisle, whether it be in optimizing your organic growth and or helping you get deals done. If you're a seller, I'd love to take you to market as well. So with that, I think we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week's podcast. Certainly encourage you to tune in next week when we unpack more ideas, concepts, and tips and tricks for tech-enabled services companies on how to better run their business, how to more effectively get them any deals done, and in general, be more prosperous. So with that, take care and make it a great week.